Good evening, everyone. 3 summers ago, I stood before many of you and invoked the words of Rabbi Abraham Isaac Cook, "Hachalomot hagdolim yisod haolam heim." The great dreams are the foundation of the world. As Jews, we are not permitted to accept the world as it is, but are required, rather, to dream with God. To dream with God of the world as it could be. And we must commit, as partners of God's covenant with Israel, to try and move the world a little bit closer to that dream. There are many dreams involved in the founding of Yeshivat Hadar, some large and some, frankly, larger. We wanted to start by creating the first ever full-time egalitarian yeshiva in the Western Hemisphere. And I'm proud to say tonight that we have done it, although it is crucial to emphasize that we are only getting started. Let me say a few words about the vision that brought and brings this institution into being and that animates its work each and every day. First, we want to create an institution of learning that is truly intellectually open, open to secular culture, open to general philosophy, open to academic Jewish studies, and yet, this is a crucial and yet, never for 1 minute gets confused or loses focus about its true goal and purpose, which is to be a place of Torah. First and last, a place of Torah. Second, we want to build a community that is unapologetically egalitarian, that is committed to women and men expressing themselves fully in both Torah and Tefillah, but without thereby diluting religious passion. Without thereby diluting religious passion. I should add that egalitarianism for us is not a halfway house towards some presumably more serious or authentic form of Jewish expression, nor is it a way station on the road to the ultimate destiny of most Jews, which is assimilation, but rather a commitment to egalitarianism that is an authentic and unapologetic expression of what it means to take Tzelem Elohim seriously in the modern world. Third, we seek to create a culture that embodies the simple fact, too often forgotten in Jewish life, that Judaism is not a spectator sport and that it cannot ultimately be lived vicariously. In a verse no doubt familiar to many of you, Sefer Dvarim describes the Torah as Morasha Kehilat Yaakov, a heritage for the whole house of Jacob. And yet many Jews, most Jews in fact, even many very serious, passionate, and committed Jews, do not have meaningful access to their birthright. Amazingly, and actually unconscionably, young Jews who have sought a place to go and learn Torah, to become literate and knowledgeable Jews, and to do so without doing it professionally, have had nowhere to go. The primary mission of Yeshivat Hadar is to fill that enormous hole in Jewish life, to give the beauty and joy of Torah, that is, back to the Jewish people to whom it belongs. I'd like to turn your attention to a strange and startling passage in the Midrash Vayikra Rabbah. Rabbi Chinina Bar Papa makes the following statement: Im shimartem et haTorah, ma'ale ani aleichem kihilu she'atem osim atzmechem. God said to the Jewish people, if you keep the Torah, I will consider it as if you were creating yourselves. In other words, Rav Chinina is saying, engaging with Torah is, at the deepest level, an act of self-creation, or, perhaps better, an act of self-cultivation. But here is the question. And it's the question in a way in which everything is at stake. What kind of selves do we seek to create through Torah? If we can answer that question, we will have gone a long way towards answering and understanding the spiritual project of Torah, and hence the Chalom HaGadol, the great dream that animates Yeshivat Hadar. So let's turn for a minute to Midrash Sifrei. The following question is asked in Midrash Sifrei. Ritzoncha lahakir et mi she'amar v'haya ha'olam? Is it your desire to know the one who spoke and the world came into being? Lemod agada, study midrash, theology. Shemitoch kach ataba lahakir et mi she'amar v'haya ha'olam. Because through the study of theology, of midrash, you come to know the one who spoke and the world came into being. The Hebrew word is lahakir, suggesting not philosophical knowledge, but relational knowledge, knowing someone rather than something, intimacy and familiarity rather than cognition. The point of theology, in other words, is never to know theology, but to know God. You might think, we might think, that the text would end here. Indeed, I would say that in many ways, our lives would be easier and less challenging and safer if the text did end here, but it does not. So now let me read the text again, this time in full. Ritzoncha lahakir et mi she'amar v'haya ha'olam, lemod agada. Shemitoch kach ata ba lahakir et mi she'amar v'haya ha'olam, umidabek bidrachav. Is it your desire to know the one who spoke and the world came into being? Then study Agadah, Midrash, theology, because through doing so, you will come to know the one who spoke and the world came into being and cleave to his ways. Now, what is cleaving to God's ways? Lehidabek lidrachav. As the students in Yeshivat Hadar studied this past week, the rabbis are univocal about this question, as they are on so few questions. To walk in God's ways is to live a life of chesed, of love manifested as kindness, as the knowledge of God manifested as compassion for others. The love of God manifested as compassion for others. Now, to be clear, Chazal, our sages, are not saying that once I finish learning, I should throw in some chesed for good measure, as a kind of parperet, dessert, or extracurricular activity. Rather, they are saying something truly profound and foundational to the work real and substantive Jewish education seeks to do. They are saying that when Torah is studied properly, that is, with heart and not just with mind, with vulnerability and presence, and not with cold formalism or excessive academic distance, then it will ineluctably lead to a life of chesed, of love manifested in kindness. But why rely on the rabbis? Consider the prophet Yirmiyahu, the prophet Jeremiah, reflecting on the meaning of the good life, and you'll find a remarkably parallel structure. Ko amar Hashem, says Jeremiah, thus says God, Al yitalel chacham b'chochmato, v'al yitalel hagibor b'gvurato, al yitalel ashir b'oshro, ki im bezot yitalel hamitalel, haskel v'yadoa oti. Let not the wise person glory in his wisdom. Let not the strong man glory in his strength. Let not the rich person glory in her wealth. But only in this should one glory, in his earnest devotion to me, that is, God. As in Midrash Sifrei, one can imagine the prophet stopping here. This would be intellectually interesting, maybe even intellectually challenging, but it would also leave me safe. unchallenged at the deepest existential levels. But the prophet doesn't stop here, because true learning, authentic knowledge, and even devotion never stop here. So let's return to the text. Haskel v'yadoa oti, in earnest devotion to me, ki ani Hashem oseh chesed mishpat utzdaka ba'aretz, ki be'ele chafatzti ne'um Hashem. In earnest devotion to me, for I, the Lord, act with kindness, justice, and equity in the world. For these are the things that I want, says God. Once again, the knowledge of God culminates in the performance of chesed, in love manifested as kindness. This passage from Jeremiah, by the way, said, one who spends his life doing nothing but learning Torah is as one who has no God. What Rav Huna means, I would suggest, is that one who studies Torah without being led by it to develop a more capacious heart, a deeper sense of compassion, a greater commitment to presence in the face of human pain and suffering, has in fact not yet studied Torah at all and cannot be said to have met God yet at all. Now, I want to be very careful here and prevent being misunderstood. Judaism dreams of a world in which, one, human dignity is real, and two, the presence of God is manifest. A world in which human dignity is real and the presence of God is manifest. It is tempting to many moderns. And in fact, some of the greatest modern Jewish thinkers, Hermann Cohen primarily among them, have not been able to resist the temptation to collapse the second into the first, ultimately to see God's presence as a metaphor for the fulfillment of the ethical. They have insisted, in other words, that what Judaism really cares about, let's be honest here, is ethics or social justice or whatever. But no, Torah values both dimensions of our lives, the vertical theological and the horizontal interpersonal. Again, the vertical theological and the horizontal interpersonal. The radical and potentially life-transforming message Torah offers us is that a relationship with God, if it is to be real, must always spill over into our relationships with human beings. But perhaps I should say this a little differently. If engaged authentically with both heart and mind, a relationship with God will spill over into relationships with human beings, with our family and friends, with our colleagues and acquaintances, with our neighbor, and with the stranger who abides in our midst. The Torah, our sages remind us, begins and ends with loving kindness. We want our students to understand that as we grow in Torah, every step we take towards God is a step towards, not away from, the world. With every inch closer I come to God, I am also prodded to love my neighbor more deeply and more humbly. But our dreams are not for our students alone. Our dreams are for a transformed Jewish community, animated and invigorated by the old new words of Torah, Milin Atikin Chadetin. Imagine, for example, a Jewish community that heeded the prophet Jeremiah's words and, for a time at least, stopped honoring the wealthy for their wealth and began to honor those who serve the community and the world in more humble, less visible ways. A major Jewish convention where the dais honored a woman who has quietly run a nursery, nurturing students for 40 years, and a man who has, without fanfare, volunteered to serve dinner at a homeless shelter once a week for 25 years, and a pediatric oncologist who has spent her whole life sitting with a depth of pain that most of us can scarcely imagine and would run in terror from if we could. Imagine a Jewish community that said, in these I glory. I'd like to tie what I've been saying more explicitly to the broader themes of the evening. The Tosafot in Masechet Brachot ask an interesting question. They ask, why is it that I make a bracha on learning Torah once a day in the morning, and it carries me, as it were, for the rest of the day? Whereas, in contrast, when I sit in a sukkah, I have to make another bracha each and every time I enter the sukkah to eat. Why in one case does one mitzvah last all day, one bracha last all day, whereas in another case, I have to keep doing it? And they answer in the following way. If I can find it, I'll read it to you. And they answer the following. V'yesh lomar, deshani Torah, she'eino miya'esh da'ato, dechol sha'a adam mechuyav lilmod, v'heve kimo yoshev kol hayom b'lo hefsek. Learning Torah, they say, is different from sitting in a sukkah, because our mind never strays from it, because a person is obligated to learn at every moment, and it is as if she were sitting all day without interruption. Now, I want to point out that there are two ways to understand this Tosafot. First, we could say that no matter what a person is doing, whether visiting the sick or buying groceries, she should always be distracted, as it were, by Torah, since nothing else is all that important. Or at any rate, it's not as important as learning Torah. Or we could say, and I think this reading is far better and gets much more deeply at the heart of Torah's project, that this text teaches that no matter what we are doing, again, whether visiting the sick or buying groceries, the lives we lead should reflect the Torah we have learned, and will, in turn, provide countless opportunities to learn Torah from our daily encounters and experiences. Rav Kook makes this point with stunning simplicity. When you are praying, he says, focus on prayer and not on the pursuit of knowledge. When you're studying, focus only on studying and don't be pulled anywhere else. And when you're engaged in Gmilut Chasadim, concentrate only on how you can help the person in front of you in a solid and enduring way. And then he adds these words, which have the potential to transform every one of our lives. And I quote, and similarly, with whatever you are doing, since there is nothing in the world that cannot be done for God's glory, thus everything you will do will be a fulfillment of God's will and commandments. Seek God in those very actions when you do them with the very summit of perfect wholeness in all its dimensions, and you will find that you know God in all your ways. Bechol drachecha da'ehu. Know God in all your ways, whether you find yourself at Barzini's or in the Beit Midrash. I knew I'd get a nervous laugh from that. Torah, whether you find yourself overpaying at Barzini's or not paying at Yeshivat Hadar. Torah, in other words, brings us back to the world by reminding us that there is Torah everywhere, just as there is the presence of God everywhere. You ever have a moment where you lose your last page of your talk? Welcome to my world. So if I don't have it, I'll just tell you what I was going to say. All right, I'll tell you what I was going to say. This yeshiva ultimately belongs not to the students who fill it every day, and not to the faculty who labor in it, and not to those of us who dreamed it, but ultimately to the entire Jewish people, and in particular to each and every one of you. And it depends on the love and the labor of each and every one of us. So we invite you to join us. Come study once a week. And if you can't do that, come study once a month. And if you can't do that, come study once a year. Tell the world that there is an institution teaching a Torah Shel Chesed. Torah Hadar, our dream is, a Torah Shel Chesed. A Torah of love manifested as kindness. And that there is a place of Torah that you really believe in and that has to succeed. Support these students by word of mouth. Support these students financially. Support other students financially so that more students can claim their birthright and, more importantly, take these words of Torah not to the Beit Midrash, but ultimately out of the Beit Midrash and beyond it, to the broader Jewish world and ultimately to the larger world as a whole. Stand with and for what this yeshiva dreams about. We welcome you to share the Chalom HaGadol. HaChalomot HaGdolim are never made real by a handful of people. Not four Rashi Yeshiva, not six faculty members, not 18 students, not even, thank God, 100 alumni. But by a community of people who believe that this Torah has something powerful to contribute to the transformation and redemption of the world. If you believe that, then please join us. 3 years ago, I ended by invoking a classical tefillah, which I'd like to turn to again tonight, as a prayer from all of us who care about this enterprise to God. And I'd like to suggest that we read this prayer a little differently than it's conventionally understood. We say at the end of every Amidah, Petach libi b'toratecha. O God, traditionally we translate this as, open my heart to your Torah. But instead, our Torah says this, O God, we turn to you and ask, Petach libi b'toratecha. Use your Torah to open my heart. Petach libeinu b'toratecha. Use your Torah to open our hearts. To you, to each other, to Torah, to ourselves, and to the dream of a world transformed. Thank you all so much for being here.